We're doing the Doshot Ran. We're in the middle of the sixth speech. And the Ran had been focused on the Pasuk. The Navi says, I'll tell you, man, what Hashem wants of you. The Navi says, Bama kadem Hashem. With what can I greet Hashem? Can I offer him sacrifices, thousands of animals, streams of oil? Should I give my firstborn son over my sins? So the Ran had explained that technically what a person should approach his creator with this feeling. What can I do, so to speak, to make it up to you, Hashem? What can I possibly offer? What can I do after I've sinned? I'd be willing to give everything. Just take me back. Vaita tshuva bazeh. We're up to page Tzadi Aleph. Yeah, that's Tzadi Aleph. Tzadi Chet in the Shalem edition, page Reish Chaf Aleph in the Mosada of Kuk edition. Vaita tshuva bazeh. So the prophet answers and says, Higid lecha adam matov. Let me tell you, man, what's good. Uma Hashem doresh mimcha. What does Hashem want of you? Klomar, as if to say, Beemet ken haya ra'ui. V'chein gozer ha-sechel kidvarecha. In truth, logic dictates, like you said, you should offer thousands of sacrifices, streams of oil. Avla Hashem itbach iflim chalasot. But Hashem did something amazing with you. Ve'ino rotze mimcha alfei elim rivivot nachlei shamen ve'lo b'chorcha u'pri bitnicha. God doesn't want thousands of animals. God doesn't want streams of oil. God doesn't want your firstborn child. כמו שאמר הכתוב, ושאל לא ציוויתי ולא דיברתי ולא עתה על ליבי, as the verse says, God says, I never said that. I never thought it. וכמו שדרשו רבותינו זל, and as our sages derived, אינו רוצה מאיתך רק כישרון המעשה. All God wants is that you behave. Don't give me all these gifts. But what I do want is that you do what's right. והוא, עשות משפט, that's what the verse says. God says, what I want is do justice. והם דברים קלים מאוד, יושגו מהרה, and that's something that's very easy and can be easily attained. ואין ספק כי החסד הזה הנפלא הוא הצלחה גמורה לטובים המתעוררים על התשובה. And undoubtedly this great kindness is a complete success for those who arouse themselves to do tshuva. Hashem says, I'm not asking of big gifts from you. I'm not asking you to do amazing things to repent. I don't say go capture a lion. I don't say bring me the paw of a bear. I say just do what's right. Do real tshuva, repent. Ve'od l'ra'at ha'ra'im she'inam mitoririm aleh. But this is a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it's a gift that Hashem says, I'm not asking amazing things of you. On the other hand, it ends up being a claim against those who don't live up to this. Meaning Hashem says, I made it pretty easy for you. Why didn't you do it? כאילו היה עניין התשובה מה שהיה שכל גוזר שהצטרכו בהשגתה. Because if תשובה would involve what our logic would dictate that תשובה should involve. Did I tell you the story about the guy with his Mercedes? No? So, imagine, yeah, that was last night. The Jeep, Mercedes Jeep, sure. The guy has a fantastic Jeep, leather seats, surround sound, $70,000. He lends it to the neighbor. The neighbor goes on a hiking trip, brings it back all banged up. The neighbor says, I want to make it up to you. What would you say? Buy me a new Jeep. Make it up to me. Okay, you want to make it up, so do. We come to Hashem. Hashem has given us the greatest tools. Hashem has given us the greatest gifts. And we misuse them. We abuse them. And then our logic would dictate, you want to make it up to me? Okay, give me 1,000 sacrifices. Give me streams of oil. Give me your firstborn son. Show me that you mean it. Show me that you really want to come back. That's what our logic would dictate. But then, הייתה קצת התנצלות לרשעים, then the wicked would have some kind of excuse. כי אף על פי שהיה מן הראוי שיותן בה כל מה שיצטרך עליה, יצר לב האדם רע, לא ימצא עם לבבו העבודות הכבדות. A person could say, you know, it was too tough for me. If tshuva would involve something so strenuous, then we'd have an excuse. אבל אחרי שהקל השם יתברך בעניין התשובה, but now that Hashem made it so easy, איזה התנצלות ימצא מי שאינו מתעורר עליה? So then what's our excuse? If תשובה would involve doing things that are so hard, then you'd say, okay. You know, I didn't have time, I didn't have strength. But if it only involves being a better person, so then that's a double-edged sword, because that's a claim against those who don't. Yeah.
So why did he say that in Mahomet or wherever they make it difficult for students to do tshuva? And why Rabbi Gran a couple of weeks ago, his message was like, or in the book of Job, it said a man was toil.
So I think your point is well taken, that
I think some of your students actually like went crazy like because they were so long, and some of them seem to come in and they seem fine, and then after a while they seem to go a bit unbalanced.
So that's a different question, but
yeah, it's associated though, isn't it?
I'm not sure. I think that what he's saying is that it's attainable. It's in that sense, it's easy. What you're saying is also true. That it is hard for a person to master himself. It's hard to change a habit. Ezu gibora kovesh titzro. To be really brave is to conquer ourselves. So he's saying, on the one end, it's doable and it's within our reach, and it's within our reach in a way that's relatively easy, meaning you don't have to kill yourself. On the other hand, you're 100% right. It is hard to conquer ourselves. It's not, when he says easy, it doesn't mean it's as easy as snapping your fingers. He just means it doesn't involve things that are dangerous and involve making $1 million. No, it involves conquering ourselves, and that's a work in its own right. Yeah, that is hard. But it's doable. And every person, if you ask every person, they'll tell you, I could and I should have more self-control. People are upset because they don't, but at the end of the day, they could. It's within our reach. It's a question of what we want. I'll tell you an interesting story. We have Ganinet that for many years, over half a decade already, every one of our kids went through her. Every one of our kids was by here at that age, 2 years old. And she lost, 50 pounds, 70 pounds. She lost a lot of weight. So she did it in a relatively short time span. So one time my wife was picking up the kids, and other women were there, and one of the women commented, "How'd you do it? What diet did you do? How'd you lose all that weight?" So she said, "I didn't do any diet. We all know the solution if we want to lose weight. There's one thing we have to do, and that is shut our mouths. It's very simple. You got to stop eating. You know, and I know, and we all know. So if you decide you want to lose the weight, then you just eat less." And it's the same thing with all of these things. If we want to, if we really have that desire, so then we could do all these things. And that, in that sense, it's easy. Yeah.
Tshuva is connection to Hashem, yeah?
Okay.
That doesn't necessarily mean if you do tshuva that you've done something wrong.
Yeah. I don't know about that. No, then it's not tshuva.
That's what really stands out when I say. He's taught that again and again. You can do tshuva, it's connecting to Hashem. That doesn't mean to say that you've done something wrong and you need to connect to
Hashem. You already did something wrong.
No, it's not true, because people are constantly moving closer and further away from Hashem.
Okay, I didn't realize what you meant. I hear you.
So
okay.
If you haven't done anything wrong, then why do you need to change character traits? Why couldn't you just have perfectly good Jewish character traits and just connect to Hashem? Why would you need to mention character traits? Because there's like an assumption that you need to do tshuva, but that doesn't mean to say you've done anything wrong. Well, there's
okay.
Anything wrong with you.
Fine, you could say that, fine. I didn't follow what you were saying, but now that I hear what you mean, yeah, okay, you could say it that way. I don't disagree. No, I'm with you, fine. What?
How is it that someone could not have done something wrong?
Look, let's say a person grew up and they weren't taught, so it's not their fault. It's not like they have to, they have to say, I'm sorry. They're not. They don't have to be sorry. They did the best they could. They still have to do tshuva. They still have to learn how to live a correct lifestyle, or how to keep mitzvot, or how to keep Shabbat. But it's not like their tshuva involves saying, I'm sorry over past, because it's not their fault. Their past, that's not held against them. So there are times where tshuva involves growth, but or coming close to Hashem and learning new things, but it doesn't necessarily involve regretting the past, because it's not my fault. I couldn't have done better. I didn't know any different.
What if you're a rabbi? A rabbi can do tshuva. So what if you're the best rabbi and you haven't done anything wrong? Then you can still do tshuva, can't you? Because that's connecting to a Hashem. It doesn't mean to say you've done anything wrong or you've led a bad life.
Okay. I think that we're using a colloquial term of tshuva, meaning that's why I'm willing to agree with it. Meaning, technically, that's not tshuva. But colloquially, when they say chozer b'tshuva, or doing tshuva, so then yes, it encompasses these as well. If you open the Rambam and you see what tshuva means, if you open the Gemara and you see what tshuva means, then it's not really, technically, it's not tshuva. It's learning the mitzvot. It's not tshuva. Technically, the word tshuva really means to fix something I did wrong. We use the term tshuva the way you said. That tshuva just as a term of coming close to Hashem. That's why I initially didn't follow what you were saying, and I didn't agree with you, but once I understood that you were referring colloquially to the term chozer b'tshuva, baal tshuva, which can involve, like we said, people who did nothing wrong, just are they're learning a new way of life. So then yes, then I agree with you.
How can you say they did nothing wrong? Even if they didn't mean to, they didn't have a kavanah, maybe there's anything wrong.
The act was wrong, but it's not held against them. No, it's called anus. Shogeg is when you should have known better. Tinok Shanishba, a guy grew up in a non-Jewish environment. He didn't know anything about what being Jewish was. We had a guy who came here once when he was 25. He lived his whole life not knowing a thing. When he was 25, his mom called him in as he was going off to the Marines. And she said, whatever his name was, she said, we'll say Mike, okay? That wasn't his name. That wasn't his name. That's why I took that name.
I'm not sure where this is going.
Okay, John, okay? She said, John, I just want you to know you're going off to the army. I'm a Jew. My mother was a Jew. And you're a Jew. Have a safe trip. So he stood there shocked. No, 25 years old. His mother never told him a word of it. He looks at her and he says, is Dad Jewish too? She says, no, but I am. So that makes you a Jew. You should just know you're going off to the Marines. You're going to be off in the Middle East. So you should know you're a Jew. Have a safe trip. So the guy goes off, right? He goes off to the Marines, and he starts researching what does it mean to be a Jew. And 10 years later, he ends up in Machon Meir. Is it held against him that he didn't know what it means to keep Shabbos? He didn't do anything wrong. It's not a shogeg. No one ever told me he was Jewish. How could he know? It takes time. God doesn't expect
I'm not
us.
I'm saying that he's sort of held accountable, but even still, isn't it? I felt like there's even a little bit that you're not gonna give someone the maximum sentence if they did something by accident, but at the same time, if they do something wrong and then they later find out that they did something wrong, they still have to do a tikkun for it, no?
I don't know. I'm unaware of that.
Not that there's anything wrong with joining the Marines as a Jew. What's he supposed to do? Go, oh, I'm a Jew. Sorry, Marines, I'm not going to be a Jew.
He didn't believe in it.
Initially,
he had a whole different belief system that he developed for himself.
Why do people not put the military and Judaism as compatible when the Israeli army is compulsory?
I didn't say it wasn't compatible.
But you've said to me in the past, you can't go back to military, and then
I said that from a Jewish perspective, or from I don't remember what I meant. I don't know.
You said you told me you won't be able to go back to the military.
I think that was because of what you told me about you being outdated in computers. I think you're quoting me in a different context.
But no, but from what he's saying something all the Marines, I can't go to the Marines for understanding life because I'm Jewish.
Okay, so I asked him.
Wait, I need to clarify the Marine story is just because the mom the mother of this guy wanted him to know that he's Jewish before he passed.
Maybe either before he died, or because people in Iraq are anti-Semitic.
Okay.
Back
to the run.
Let them know you're the main target. And by the way, there's a lot more things that you have to worry about. Enjoy your trip.
I spoke to a guy from the Department of the Army, and he said it's possible to be religious and be in the Army. In fact, they have certain rules in place that are there to protect you. You just have to know what they are, because people will tell you they don't exist, but they do. So it's possible to be religious and be in the Army.
Sure, they have religious units in the Army.
וזה שאמרו בסוכה, רשעים נדמה להם כחוט השערה, ואומרים, איך לא יכולנו לפסוק חוט השערה זה. That's what the Talmud tells us, that the wicked, when they look at tshuva, it looks to them like a hair, something that's so easy to break. And they say, how come we didn't do it? They look back and they say, it was so easy, why didn't we do it? וזהו שאמר כתוב, שיחתך ישראל כבי ועזריך. ירצה כי העזר הגדול והזמנה הרבה שנתן לו השם יתברך בעבודתו וכיוון בזה ההצלחה לטובה, זאת הכוונה שבאה למשחית לרעים. The pasuk says a very difficult pasuk. Israel, your destruction is that I'm there to help you. What does that mean? שיחתך ישראל, it's destructive to you Israel, כי וי ועזריך, because I'm here to help you. So what he says, that's this idea. That Hashem says, because I was there to help you so much, because I made it so accessible for you to do tshuva, so that's all, your ultimate destruction, because Hashem says you have no answer when ultimately I'm going to come back and say, why'd you leave my Torah? I was there to help you. I tried to get you on the right path. I made it easy to go on the right path. And that is the ultimate destruction, that the people have no answer. That's what the prophet says. Return Israel to Hashem, your God. And we'll pick up here, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week.